Since we have a guest, then he's got a heart out, as Dallas would say. Head over to modernprofession.com, check out all the podcasts on the network, go to lifesbinge.com, check us out, find us on YouTube, Instagram, social media, Twitter, at lifesbinge. And all that good stuff. I think that's a good intro, yeah?
Beautiful.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Life's a binge! Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right? That was for you, Chris.
You weren't ready for
that's
that.
Okay.
Nobody,
you know,
nobody told me to breathe.
We didn't give you. We didn't give you much. Any. We didn't really give you anything to work on. Worth.
Chris Salazar, everybody. He's our guest today.
You know, I was gonna. I had this idea, and I actually like wrote it out to you. While I was like sending you a message.
Me?
No, Christopher.
Fish, whatever.
And then so I was like,
"Are you drinking hot choco?
Mm-hmm.
Hot choco?
Hot choco?
It just looks like it. It's really beer.
Are you drinking a hot choky something? Yeah. Something choky? I like it.
No, back to the very frothy.
But okay. But I was gonna say, for some reason, I had this idea because we're in the back area at the world, and we're talking about dating and dating sites and dating. So I was like, you know, it'd be fun maybe to get Courtney Brassard to come on and talk about being single and stuff.
That's what life moves pretty fast.
She's a very attractive girl.
That's what she's done twice for them.
It's right. So that's probably why I was like, like that. But and also I was like, maybe later, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe later.
True that.
But for tonight, it's all about Chris Salazar.
Word. So. I know you as Chris Salazar.
Mm. I was saying Christopher because...
Are you... When you do a show, what's your playbill name?
I'm professionally known as Christopher. And actually, there's been a switch in the last couple of years of introducing myself as such.
You now
like
say
you're getting
you're
used
Christopher?
To it?
Mm-hmm. Is it the
growing up thing?
It is. It's.
I should use my real name.
Well, I think, you know, Chris, I was reading an article today about women's names that are now no longer being bestowed upon babies that were common when we were kids. And Chris is really popular in the 80s. I think it was only second to maybe Michael. And Horatio. So that would make it third, actually. And so there was never a social gathering, whether it be the obligation of school or a sporting event, where there weren't an abundance of Chris's.
Yes.
So I was always called some derivative of Christopher or by my last name, which is, Salazar. I think you know me by that fairly frequently too. There's no preference. Either way, whatever people want to call me, Christopher just, you know, keeps me on the lips a little longer.
Christopher.
It is kind of hanging out.
My friend named Christopher hated being named Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And so he eventually was just called Topher because...
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Because we would say, hey, Chris, and then he would add in...
Topher.
To complete his name as Christopher.
Topher just has...
And then...
Is that where Topher comes from? Probably. Topher Grace?
Maybe.
Yeah. Chris Topher Grace?
And who wants to be known in relation to Topher Grace?
Right.
I mean, as useless as they come.
Hey, that 70s show was a hit.
You know, but I still...
Was
I
that
still,
him?
Yeah.
I still dig, like, learning, like, oh, wait a minute. Topher, maybe that's, like, Christopher.
Probably came from Christopher. Right. That's my...
That is the only place.
Without Chris,
same time, it didn't come from Jacktopher.
And it kind of makes me mad in a way.
It come.
Like, yeah, like Topher, yeah.
Well, we could like Topher. What are you talking about, Topher? I don't know, like the end.
Where did your name come from? It's Christopher?
Right.
Okay. Christopher?
It was a buy one deal at you know, Sam's Club. Topher.
You get the
price
Topher.
Of one.
Mm-hmm. Two for one. Topher one, okay?
I like where my name came from. I'm named after a TV show.
Of course. Jared, right? Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
that's the one.
That's what I thought.
It was a TV show called The Big Valley. And the family that was the show was about was the Barkley family. And Jared Barkley was like the dreamy, I think he was the doctor. Hmm. And he was like this dreamboat with like brown hair. And
your folks said.
And my mom was like,
Jared.
That's going to be.
He'll be dreamy.
That's my boy.
Yeah. I think Richard Long was the name of the actor that played him. Richard Long, I believe so.
Dick Long, long
exactly.
Dick.
Exactly.
That's what he's implying, everybody.
Yep. And I'm Chris Gerthy.
Yeah.
Chris Gerthy, your guest for the evening.
Gerthy Chris.
And oh, I'm man.
Anyway.
We don't have anything to talk about, so we're just chatting.
Hey, you, what do you mean we don't have anything to talk about?
We don't.
We have Chris Salazar here. There's so much to talk about.
Christopher Salazar.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
So you're like big time performer guy now.
Well,
kinda.
Not apparently, because he can't stay. Oh, performance is down. I'm sure after this session, my bookability is going to go way down if this ever gets out.
By the way, these never hit the air. These never go public.
This doesn't go on the internet at all.
You guys just listen to each other?
Yes, that's all.
We're not recording anything. We just pretend. It's a big game of pretend.
Yeah, nothing ever happens with these things.
So. Yeah,
So big time, no, but I
San Diego, you're big time.
Well, no, I'm actually not really in San Diego very much.
I was going to say, you're kind of like left. In LA-ish.
I'm much more of an LA. You know, San Diego didn't want me, so I left.
You did a stint at the Globe, though.
I've done 3 stints at the Globe in the last couple years. It's definitely my artistic home, and I'm tethered to it joyfully. You know, this year, we talk, performers talk all the time about how we're measuring our success, and we always look at the person next to us and like, oh, if I was only where they were at, I would be complete. And the fact of the matter is that that's never going to be true. But the measure of my success was qualified this year because I did a stint on a television show for a few episodes.
What?
And my mother was able to direct our extended family and her friends and neighbors to watching me in this show. And now she has something to hang her hat on and say, my son is an actor. 13 years later, having worked in theaters in 20 states of the...
And probably playing some roles that you're extraordinarily proud of.
Very much so. Yeah. And I feel artistically fulfilled for many of the years. But
you were on TV.
But I was on TV.
And you know what, son?
And I also made it. And I lent my voice to a major video game that is probably in more homes than, you know.
Which one?
Fallout 4.
That's what? A big game.
It's a big game, yeah.
I have not played it, but I know that it's a big game because I've heard of it. And I'm not a big
You're a voice
big,
in Fallout 4.
I'm four voices in Fallout 4.
And you were on TV. What TV show were you on?
Jane the Virgin, which is a fairly popular show on the CW.
America Ferrera, right?
It's still... No. That was Ugly Betty.
Ugly Betty. Oh, this Jane the Virgin is the Hispanic... what's her name?
She goes to
Gina Rodriguez. Goes to the doctor and comes back pregnant.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. Oh, because of a foul-up in the thing.
Yes. Correct.
I've heard good things about that show. Is it still on?
Oh, yeah. It's doing well. It's... had some accolades. It's on Netflix now.
Okay.
Which contributes to my bank account every once in a while.
Really?
Not sure.
I'm going to put it in my list then.
Please do. Cue it up.
I'll just put it on
everybody
replay.
Put Jane the Virgin.
Season 2, episodes 5 and 8.
Yeah, we'll just put this replay it over and over.
You should.
The like, Britney Spears episode. It's me and Britney, basically.
She's in that episode, too.
She is. She stole my thunder a little bit. I think people were really excited for me, and then Britney.
That's Britney Spears.
Now, exactly. So did you get to meet her, or no?
I did not.
So you guys didn't overlap, like,
not
as
at
far
all.
As, like, shooting?
In fact,
or
they had me in and out as quick as possible. They learned from their mistake rather quickly and got me offset as quick as they could.
Very good.
That seems to be an ongoing thing with you, at least my experience with you.
Get him out of here.
You're really good.
You got to go.
Here, wait, hold on. Whoa. All the stuff you're doing is great. Maybe, like, tone it down, like, a lot.
Yeah. Well, Jared, you can speak. You probably actually were witness to the pinnacle of my artistic career.
Is this Biff stuff?
No, it wasn't Biff.
Bubble Talk?
Suds McGee.
Yeah.
Suds McGee.
Which I would say I was, because we weren't the same character, I think we can agree that I was the top tier Suds McGee.
Wait a minute. Now, who are you now? He was McGee.
He was Pops.
But I wasn't.
You were Pops McBubble? Pops what?
I was supposed to be.
He was somewhere in between. Name? He was a man-child.
Pops what?
Bobel.
Pops Bobel.
Was the last
name. I remember that in auditions for that.
Oh, yeah.
For that.
I nailed it.
Did I audition for
that? So wait, didn't you wear... You wore Pops' outfit, but you had Suds... You were Suds and Pops' body.
Line. Yeah.
But...
Because... they didn't like the way that I looked in old age makeup.
Yeah, well.
Because it looked horrible.
45 cigarettes later, this is what you get.
I told them, I was like, you're going to put a fake mustache on me? Like, that's going to look horrible. And they were like, no, it's going to be great.
You're gonna
and I was like,
it.
It's going to look bad.
Yeah.
And then it looked terrible.
It was a train wreck. But you were very good.
It was fun. You were. That was a fun show.
Yeah. So did you both like get hired and work with Philip or no?
Yep. We did.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Just curious.
Philip was the first one to be ready to go on.
He was ready, like...
From day one.
Yep, day one.
And ready, ready to perform.
It, but it never got good. It just it stayed the same the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. It was energetic.
Yeah.
We were... It was a very tight-knit brotherhood.
He was very by the book.
Yes.
And we were not.
So I was the opposite. I didn't how many, never saw the book.
How many Bubble Meisters were there?
There were six of us.
Yeah.
What?
And we were fairly...
Tim was one of them,
we
right?
were a close yep. fraternity. Jonathan Sangster.
And Jonathan, that's
Court Norby.
Right.
Court Norby.
Court was one.
The fallen brother who left immediately.
I barely
he got
remember
He
Court.
Got the remote out of our hands, though.
But you...
He did, he.
He did.
So,
way out of it.
So Jared, Chris, John, Court...
Tim.
Tim and one other person. Oh, Philip. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yep. An eclectic mix, to say the least.
The bubble.
I like that.
Had they let us do the show together, I think it really would have been
like
epic.
They told us we were going to
do. Exactly. Except for the free for all that we then had.
That's how it was going to be, was you guys were going to do
it
together. Well,
it should have been Pops and Suds interacting.
Right.
Or Suds with his cloned self.
Right. Or just, I don't know why they
Suds
tried to make it
Suds
a
two,
family. Or? It's like, why can't you just be like bubble people and like
money?
Why do you have to be a family?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that show was so fun. Your show, I mean, I laugh at everything. So that's not really a good judge of anything. But
it means you're funny. Even though he laughs and he laughs at everything, it doesn't take away from
it doesn't, though.
That you're funny.
Your show made me laugh uncontrollably the whole time.
I typically played to what would get. Jared to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going?
Potty.
You're leaving in the middle?
You can handle it.
There's somebody here, so I can just chit-chat with somebody else.
Yeah.
He left me in the middle when it was just the two of us one time, and I drowned miserably.
I had faith that it would work out, but it didn't quite work out. Yeah. But I have faith this time.
Well, when you're having a conversation and one person's gone, and you're like,
It was a rather unceremonious exit, too. He just is up and gone.
Well, this is radio.
Because I have faith in you, too.
I'm still here.
I'm
sorry.
I'm going to go potty, but I'm sure that you guys are going to be good.
We're just going to reminisce about
potty
bubbles.
On, Wayne.
Here we go. Potty on.
The bubble show.
Yeah.
So for those of you at home that don't know what that was, there was very, very, very short-lived for BJ.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks people say short-lived.
Yeah, I could see that.
Have you ever heard?
No human being has ever said that in front of me.
That's what I'm saying. He claims that that's a thing that people say, is short-lived. Anyway, there was a very short-lived show at SeaWorld called the Bubble Blowout.
Mm-hmm.
And,
do we know
bubbles.
if it continued to exist at other SeaWorld locations, or if we were the one who got the axe?
I don't know that, actually. I'm pretty sure it probably got canned everywhere.
It was very expensive. Bubbles are not cheap.
No, that show was... We were the cheap show. The Splash Dance was the expensive show.
God, that thing was
and
awful.
And that was horrific.
Yeah.
That was just... Doomed.
Watch us waste water in a drought. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Spray your
and,
kids.
And, like, nobody would come over. Like, at least our show would, like, draw people in, because, like, there was a purpose to it.
Well, especially when we were in the audience with each other, and there's something on your jacket. It's bothering me.
All right.
I can't. I mean, you see how I'm attired.
What is
I think
it?
It's
what
gum.
Is it?
No, whenever we were in each other's audiences what and supporting it? Each other, I have no idea. Sweet baby
it's
Jesus.
It's like sticky, but it's like a string.
Yeah.
There's all yours.
There's an arachnid loose.
Is that
in
hair gel?
So
give me some.
So this will be a quiz for you two. So. In now that I've moved on from now that I've fallen from the graces of the bubble blowout,
yes.
I find myself doing a lot of Shakespeare,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing
of course,
one of his lesser produced works, his Henry VI trilogy in Los Angeles, to crowds of six or seven people, and in the final performance, I laid down a challenge to the other actors in the ensemble, and I won't tell you what the challenge is. Well, I will say that the challenge was to incorporate. Quotes from two specific movies into the play.
Got it.
And so I will tell you the quotes that I snuck in the play.
Okay.
And you tell me
guess
what
the
movies they're from. Yeah.
Okay. All this right. is fun. This is a fun game.
I said, my lord, I will not lay down my sword. I hath not time to bleed. I hath not time. Not a direct quote, but you get the idea.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
So that was one.
Okay.
Looking at the map on stage, mm-hmm. I said, arm the troops. They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Oh, gosh. Okay. When you say mostly, I think South Park, bigger, longer, uncut. Because it's like, I just think of Cartman. Mostly. But he's probably referencing what you're talking about. No, he's referencing... When he says that mostly, he's referencing, that classic story, not Dickens, but, okay, I'm lost.
Don't know. You're off in your own world. I'm still concentrating. I don't have time to
bleed. Mostly.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Mostly. That's a reference to something, and I bet you that South Park is a reference to it, and I'm not... learned
I don't
enough.
Know either one.
I'm not learned enough.
Really? I'm shocked.
I know.
Okay, explain.
I don't have time to bleed.
Well, we'll start reverse. They mostly come out at night is Newt in Aliens. Speaking of the aliens coming into... They mostly come out at night, mostly. Mm-hmm. I ain't got time to bleed. I hath not time to bleed is from Predator.
Ain't got time to bleed. You know, that's Lance Arthur Smith's name in our... Fantasy Football League. Ain't Got Time to Bleed is the name of his league. Of his name team. Of his team in our league station, which my name is Bootylicious.
Of course it is.
So the challenge was to integrate quotes from the Aliens movies or the Predator movies into the play.
I love
it. And a lot of the actors got nervous. and you could see the moment. And one of them uttered something, and it was very good, but did it with such flair that then lost their place in the scene, and nobody else knew what the fuck they were talking about.
Right.
Nice. So,
but the best part was we did have an audience member who, one, had cut the play and made some alterations to it for the purposes of streamlining it, and was sitting in the audience and was like, that is not motherfucking Shakespeare. So, but you got to keep it fresh, you know.
How many times has that been said in the theater?
Making up stuff is the most fun thing ever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
On stage, playing a little fuck your buddy on stage is
it's a little.
Because if you can get somebody else to laugh, if they go down in a you know, fiery crash, it's much better than you.
I typically only play that game if I'm on stage but not speaking. Like I'll make faces or I'll
That's great.
Or I'll
touch
people. So you
take no responsibility.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about the show, but I'll fuck you up.
I will say lines differently or like mumble things under my breath. I do that. That is true.
You do that.
Yeah. So most recently in Avenue Q, the one character, when we swapped out people all the time, it was weird. But then somebody came in and they wouldn't say the name Princeton. He would say Princeton.
Mm.
That's how he pronounced the name Princeton. He would always say Princeton. Hey, Princeton.
And so that was just... Okay, go ahead.
That was his character choice.
Okay.
His character chose to say Princeton that way.
I might fight with it.
Because it was weird. Okay. But he said Princeton. And so then every night during the show, when he would get sad, I would tap him on the shoulder and be like, I'm sorry, buddy. Like every time. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. Oh, that sucks. Because he wouldn't get the money. I'm sorry, buddy. And then one night, instead of saying, I'm sorry, buddy, because everyone knew I was going to say, I'm sorry, buddy, I said, I'm sorry, Princeton. And like everyone on stage just freaking lost it because I said Princeton.
That's funny.
Yeah. I don't know how you weren't nominated for awards left and right.
You know, that's what I'm saying, because it's low key. You got to keep it low key. You got to keep it low key to break people.
Mm-hmm.
Small and subtle things.
Speaking of awards,
you don't need to destroy the whole show. That's what I'm saying.
Tell me about your, you got nominated for something. Tell me about it.
You won something.
No, I haven't won. Haven't won yet.
You've been nominated, though, which is an honor in itself.
It is, and I'm very thrilled. The major theatrical award, there are several theatrical awards and recognitions in Los Angeles, in the theater community there, but the one that probably carries prestige, I don't want to say because I don't want to undermine the other ones, but it's the one that's the most established. It's called the Ovations. And so it would be the Los Angeles version of the Tonys.
Okay.
Not carrying the same, you know, fanfare.
But still.
But
yes,
and how that process goes about is there are Ovation voters, and what they do is they're invited to see all the theater they want. And a few people are assigned to go see a show. And if they think it's noteworthy, they then recommend it and then other Ovation voters go out and see it, and they tally up a score. So of these aren't going to be exact numbers, but I have a rough estimate. Let's say that they saw 560 shows last year, of mm-hmm. which that's not inaccurate. Los Angeles has more theater going on, actually, than New York when yeah. you think about
really?
It.
Really?
And
that's very interesting.
And so of those, maybe we'll say 100 become Ovation recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll get a bunch of Ovation voters there. And then out of that, they whittle down and down and down. And so of all those, a show that I was in called America, spelled A-M-E-R-Y-K-A, was nominated in 7 categories, including Best Play, in a small theater, that being any of the theaters outside of the big 3, which there are 3 major theaters in town.
Do you know what are they?
The Nina, one, the Penta, the Santa.
Is one the Mark Taper Forum?
One of them is the Mark Taper Forum.
Because I've seen a show there once.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. And that's actually a double, that's a 2. Mark Taper Forum is part of, it's Center Theater Group produces it. Mark Taper Forum and the Amundsen.
So, okay.
Excuse me. The other one is the Geffen Theater.
Which I have not heard of.
Right. There are, I mean, actually, there are other large theaters, but those are the big ones. And
what's the other big one? There's 3. You say there's 3.
The Amundsen, the Mark Taper, and the,
oh,
and the
okay.
Geffen.
Okay. Okay.
And there are other large ones there, but those would be the big heavy hitters in town.
Okay.
So in the intimate setting, Best Play, and then also Best Acting Ensemble. And it was an ensemble piece. And then our lead actor, the man who I would say carried the most of the majority of the show, was nominated for Best Lead Actor.
Cool.
And then a bunch of other things, Best Director. And so now we're in, the nomination is perfect, exactly what I would qualify as the goal. The show is very interesting. This theater company developed it over 6 years. They built the show from the ground up. It to describe it is impossible, but basically in a nutshell, it traces the democratic movement in Poland and how it drew parallels from the American Revolution and the jazz movement in the U.S., and it jumps all over the place. And
it sounds fascinating. Like, it was, seriously,
well, the history of Polish, and I would encourage anybody who is listening to this, or you two, to just, you know,
there's people that
tonight,
listen.
We're here. Tonight, we're both here, so go ahead.
Before you go to bed tonight, look up Polish movie posters. And
okay.
It's an art form in of itself. It's beautiful, and they're often they're used definitely for expression, but they've been used in for political statement as well.
Hmm.
And there was a poster from the movie High Noon, which they used for the Solidarity movement in Poland to kind of rally around, you know, give us rights. We're sick of not having toilet paper. We want a democratic mm-hmm. point of view. And so it jumped all over this spectrum. It was beautiful, big stage. The most striking image is there were thousands of red bricks upstage that got moved throughout the play and were a big piece of the symbolism of it. And, you know, for me personally, it was 9 characters speaking, and I was speaking Polish. I was speaking with many different dialects, and then playing everything from a Native American chief to a CIA operative, all over the spectrum. And like I said, they developed it for 6 years. This was the culmination of it. And myself and 2 other actors actually jumped in with a month before they opened it to kind of join the ranks and be a part of it. And we didn't think anybody was, I mean, people saw the show, but there was a incident that prevented it from opening on opening night with the computer system.
Boo.
And so
bummer.
The majority of the press that came weren't able to come back because they planned to see it opening night. And so we were doing a show where it seemed like, yeah, people love it, but nobody's seeing it. And towards the end of the run, more and more people came to see it. And what I ended up hearing subsequently was from friends who were Ovation voters or people in that world was, oh, yeah, I saw it and thought it was one of the best things I've ever seen. And I know other people felt this. So people were seeing it. We just didn't know what the response was.
How big was the cast?
I believe
pretty 9 or 10.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
And nobody really left. The fun part, it was a long one. It was like 245, 250. But
it was a long one.
My longest time where I didn't have something to do was about 1 minute and 30 seconds.
That's
where
crazy.
I was. That was the only time I could run completely off stage and change. But the majority of the time you were stripping something off, putting something on, moving a chair here, and then running back to do what you had to do next.
And so everyone played many different characters. The whole thing.
And it was a free, it was a bloodbath backstage.
That does sound awesome. Like that just, as a performer, man. Yeah, you're just like, awesome. You're like part of this the entire time.
Well, that's why, like,
you're active. You're...
Sometimes the chorus is better than the lead because you get to play. I'm
stuck in some kind
everyone, you get to play a bunch of different parts as opposed to I'm the lead and I'm this guy the whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
No, and so in a year where I was very fortunate to be a part of 8 theatrical productions this last year, and all of them
that's
certainly
a
had
good
their
year, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say, Chris, right? That's a good year.
No, it is. And the joke amongst, you know, my peers is that I admittedly spread myself thin, and I'll be rehearsing one show while performing in another, and then they kind of just trickle into each other.
Yeah, can't do
And
sounds like Zach, you know, talking about his local shows. But anyway.
And for me, what it really is about is, you know, I was on the East Coast for many, many years, and making the decision to be a West Coast-based actor, I felt like I was making up for lost time. So really trying to cultivate relationships. The Los Angeles theater scene is alive and well. It's really exciting because there's so much. The quality, admittedly, isn't always top shelf, but there's merit to everything being done. And so I've certainly been involved in shows where, in retrospect, or even while you're in it, you're thinking, "Oh man, this is not the best thing I've ever been a part of."
I won't tell my friends to come to this one.
Yeah, but even that is this wonderful exploration of, you know, why do we do theater, and you know, especially with what's going on politically in the U.S., we wonder what is going to be the state of theater. I was really lucky to just be a part of a show through the Old Globe, which was their new initiative as of 3 years ago called Globe for All, which follows the model of the Public Theater in New York's Mobile Shakespeare Unit, which is taking Shakespeare to underserved audiences, in this case around San Diego. So we were everywhere from homeless facilities to veterans facilities, and we visited two prisons, a women's correctional and release facility, and a men's maximum security prison. And
that's interesting.
It is. It's, and the tour has been around for 2 years, and I've been in all three tours.
Rewarding as all hell.
Yeah,
like seriously, that's to me. I'm like, that's bomb ass.
Yeah, that's gonna be like super rewarding.
That's the goods, right?
I would be remiss to say that it wasn't just as fulfilling for us as it was for the audiences. And you know, it's the way it's staged. The audiences on all sides, and it's very intimate. It's only three rows deep, and so it's completely interactive, as Shakespeare was intended to be.
Right,
and we did this year, we did Measure for Measure, one of Shakespeare's less accessible plays, not because it's difficult to understand, but more so because it's less produced and people aren't familiar with it.
Right.
I'm not as familiar with it, for sure.
And so a quick overview is that the man in charge is overwhelmed with what he sees going on in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says, I can't make the changes I think we need because I'll be seen as a hypocrite and I don't want to be reviewed as a you know, a dictator or a totalitarian or whatever. And so he says, I'm going to appoint this other guy who's known for being quite strict and quite by the books, and he'll be in charge. And he leaves. The Duke just runs away. And we're like, where'd he go? And the new guy takes over. And the Duke stays nearby. He dresses up as a friar, like everybody does, and kind of watches. And the new guy takes like over, and he starts enacting laws that nobody knew were on the books, including, you know, premarital sex, no bueno. And so the target of it is this young man who's set to be married to a woman, but they're waiting for her dowry to come through, but she gets pregnant. And so this new guy in charge sentences him to death. And
this is in the play Measure for Measure?
This is in the play Measure for Measure.
I seriously have no idea what this play is about.
And so false imprisonment, major theme.
Okay.
Or, you know, relatively false. And then the guy who's sentenced to death, his sister is about to become a nun. She's like in nun finishing school. And she shows up to beg for his life from the guy now in charge. And he says, you know, your brother's got to die because he had premarital sex. And she leaves, and he decides, oh man, like there was something about her and how pious she was that really turned me on. And so he invites
that is one hot nun.
He invites her back and proposes to her, like, if you sleep with me, I'll spare your brother. And therein lies one of
that's got to be a theme that's repeated more than once. Maybe that it originated in that Shakespeare, but like for some reason, like it seems like I've heard that. Okay, like
that indecent proposal.
The song "Gallows Pole," which Led Zeppelin covered.
Indecent proposal.
Where it's just like
Woody Harrelson.
You know, Hangman. Stay with me a while. Don't you see my sister come and run, ride for many miles? It's a song called "Gallows Pole." It's a great pole, great song, but the idea is that she's gonna sleep with the guy in order to earn favor from the hangman or from the powers that be. Anyway,
sometimes you gotta drop the drawers, man.
Sometimes, sometimes, Jared, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. Sometimes you just got to drop those drawers and do what needs to
Why
be done.
Why are pants called drawers?
Good
Can
question.
Anybody tell me?
I don't know. I can't tell you. No. No
clue. I saw there was some clip that I saw of like Snoop Dogg getting a present of like underwear, and he's like, "Oh, these are some great drawers."
Like, he probably said draws.
Why draws?
It's not a judgment on Snoop. I mean,
but he probably did.
Speaking
draws.
Of which, have you watched his Snoop Dogg watches nature videos?
I have, and they're great.
Have you seen these?
They're
I have not.
Oh, you will fantastic. Love. Them.
I saw one. You I will saw love one them. Thing where he's talking about otters chasing off a alligator, and he calls them mongooses.
Yeah, you will love them. Yeah, well, they're like
he
that.
Has no wherewithals to what animals look like. Right. He calls flamingos hawks. I mean, some things that are just really odd. It's like that's obviously a Bengal tiger. And he says, "What's up with that leopard?" Or no, not even not. Yeah. That's too close. What's up with the zebra?
Yeah, he's got to be doing it on purpose for entertainment value.
I don't know. You
but
know,
he's doing a new. He's doing a new show.
It doesn't even matter because he is such a celebrity.
Yeah.
And such a personality.
It's
and
fun.
Such a,
it's yeah. fun. But he has a new show with him and Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
And they're doing like it's like a cooking home cooking show, and it's him on one side that's and Martha
some,
Stewart
that's
on
some
the other
like,
side.
Like, producers like wet dream like yeah. okay here we go couple personalities great. Martha Stewart she's been in prison okay
let's pair
hear
up
me
with
out
Snoop
hear me out
so wait has Martha Stewart been in prison more time than Snoop I don't know
probably
been
probably yeah, yeah probably.
So she's got more cred than he does
she
he's
does.
Always he's always been thought of as kind of soft in the rap world
has he I don't know I don't have a lot of juice with the rap world
so. Snoop-a-loop.
So, but anyway, it's interesting.
But how come their pants and pants are drawers?
why? I'm sorry. Why? Say, pants? Get that out. Get that all the way out. There.
Stupid. I don't know why pants are drawers.
Why are pants are called drawers? Yes. I don't know.
Why?
But draws. No draws sense. Are funny. Like I don't know.
It makes
oh,
no
man.
Sense.
It's all in my drawers.
But I don't think drawers. I think it only applies now to underoos. I don't think it's.
Yes,
I don't think
it is underwear.
Not, okay, it's not to. No, it's not to slacks.
My drawers. If I hear drawers,
it's underwear.
Underwear. Somehow I hear underwear. But why? This crotch covering underwear. Like that's what I think. Draws.
So I have to take off my bridges to get to my drawers.
No. Your bridges are your drawers.
No.
Draws.
Bridges are pants, right?
No.
Bridges are pants.
Are they?
Yep.
Let me call Snoop Dogg and
see. You think britches are underwear?
No, britches are pants. You're right. It took me a minute because I was in the, you know, I was in draw space.
Why?
So.
Anyway.
I don't know why.
I don't know why I thought about that, but
who knows
you're
why
you're welcome, Internet.
We think of what we think of.
He's going to leave, so we should probably.
Oh, what time is it?
It's 11.
We got 10 more minutes.
It's 11:13.
All right, cool.
That can't be accurate because this says 11:11.
Well, there we go.
So we'll say 9 more minutes.
Go. This is at least 6 minutes off.
Well, yeah. There it
at
is.
At least one of the two.
Are you doing anything now? Do you want to promo anything?
Yeah. Where can we see you?
Well, there I'm working on a new play workshop at the La Jolla Playhouse. They have a. I heard this evening it's the 5th year of their DNA reading series, which is where they are bringing in new plays from all over the country and bringing in actors from all over the country to work on these shows and workshop them. So we're there rehearsing this week, and they'll be going on this weekend at La Jolla Playhouse. You can find the information on their website. And then Sunday morning, I fly out.
Sunday the
11th.
This next month, okay. Yep.
I fly
after we air, but good to know.
I fly out to Portland, Oregon.
You were mentioning that. You know, I have a long history in Portland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge in the cocaine world.
Yeah. It's big. I don't know if any of that cocaine talk will be included in the beginning. Yeah. But no, actually, all that was Seattle. All that was Seattle. Yeah. But Northwest, it's all the same cocaine.
Yeah, P-dubs.
Cocaine network. So, but Portland, Oregon, I'm a big fan of. My sisters and mother live there.
Mother?
It's okay. My mother. That's how we say it in Portland.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Mother.
Mother. Sure.
And but anyway, I love Portland. I love Portland.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. We'll be there for 9 weeks. We being me, the
you're
Royal,
doing a
the
show.
Royal We. Yeah, we're doing a new play called Astoria about Astoria, Oregon,
where Goonies was filmed. No big deal or anything. I just know that. Yep. No big deal.
And
it's also a beautiful bridge there. What's the show? What's the play about?
It's based on a novel of the same name. And John Jacob Astor was a German immigrant who, if you've been to New York City, Astor Place, which is in southern Manhattan.
I have heard the name.
He owned a good portion of southern Manhattan for many years. And his claim to fame, he had many successful business ventures, but he basically had the vision to extend the fur trade to the western coast. Okay. And so he sent two expeditions. And this was right after Lewis and Clark had made their westward journey. So he sent an expedition overland and an expedition south of South America, because we didn't have the canal yet, to establish a colony on the western coast and to try to beat out some of the other European interests that were competing for the same thing. And I don't know the exact numbers, but of the 100 or so men he sent, a good portion of them perished and in some way or another. And so this is a dramatization of that novel that is all based in reality. And it's a large cast, 17, playing something like 80 characters.
Wow. Double wow.
That's a big undertaking.
It's a big undertaking. Yeah. We workshopped it for 2 weeks back in July.
More than four each.
Yep.
Math, baby.
Well,
okay.
Good job.
I'm a math guy.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's cool. You never know. You know, Esther, I like history a lot. I like that my niece, Bella, is like a history major now, because the idea is that like you could study this stuff and it could be called Astoria Land or something as opposed to Oregon. Or no, the dude's name who you just mentioned.
Astor. John Jacob Astor.
Astor, yeah. That it could be named something else if things had fallen in a different way.
Yeah, you never know how things are going to get named.
You never know.
I have an actor question for you.
Yeah.
Do you audition or do people ask you to do stuff?
You, of course, I'm going to answer it. Can I answer it? Even though I'm not an actor?
Sure.
You, of course, audition. You audition like crazy. That's my question. That's my answer. Go ahead. You answer.
Well, I think Jared's drawing from some knowledge of what goes into. So it's a little bit of, it's becoming a little less of the audition and a little bit more of, hey, would you be interested in working on this?
Right.
And
do you go through that,
that level is fantastic.
Do you go through a cursory audition? Like, we have to, like, put you through an audition, so we, like...
Hey, they can make whatever decisions they want. And so it depends on if you've worked with somebody before. It depends on the theater. I had a theater recently, and it was unfortunate because it was a great project, and I had to say no to it. But a theater in Washington, D.C. reached out and said, hey, you know, you were the playwright recommended you and you know, ultimately they have a big influence and we're aware, we know who you are. Would you come out and work on this project?
We saw you on Jane the Virgin.
We saw you on Jane the Virgin. Actually, my son plays Fallout 4 right. And really loved your work. Or daughter. And so that was an example of, and occasionally on the smaller projects, I mean, you'll have somebody occasionally just call out to you or email. I had an email the other day about a film project that somebody said, hey, you'd be really good for this. If they're familiar with you, have seen you, you've auditioned for them in the past, but definitely for the bigger stuff you're auditioning for. Yeah. But even some of that seems to be, you talk about cursory, sometimes it feels like, you know, you go into auditions and you very well know that you don't have a shot in the dark. I was up for a TV pilot this year that... It seemed like we were a lot closer than I think we ultimately were, because when we saw who got cast, I was like, oh, that's the guy that I've seen in 47 movies. I don't think you were really considering me, were you?
Were they? Maybe they were.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, and that's the nature of the business now, is people are...
Who was it?
Oh, he was... I remembered him from A Few Good Men. But this happens. You go to an audition and you'll see... you'll sit down in the waiting room, and in you walks
were there with Tom Cruise.
In, in walks Danny Trejo, and you're like, well,
yeah, I don't know what's really, because, I am in the wrong building.
It's the same reason Matthew McConaughey is doing commercials.
Right? Like, right?
Wait, Danny what? Trejo?
Didn't he just Danny pass?
Danny Trejo's fine.
No.
Didn't he just pass?
Like today?
Like in the last week or two?
No.
What? No.
I'm gonna. Danny Trejo's fine. You guys chat
on
my
phone. I don't know where it's over there. No way.
I think that that's what I heard, but
it's internet rumor.
I keep, you know, there is a thing that like every time that like
death hoax is a thing, and I don't.
Well,
get it.
You know, what's his name? The new, not Charlie Chan, but
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Thank you.
I mean, not new. What? Jackie Chan's been around for a while.
But there's also there's a history like our internet like death notice of him.
All right, Danny Trejo is very much alive, and he's also 5'6".
Yeah, he is very what? Short. He's very short.
That's he a, is alive.
He's alive and well. I just watched him. I just watched him in From Dusk Till Dawn.
I hate the internet so much.
I was hoping you were going to say Con Air.
I mean, I didn't watch Con Air recently, but I did watch The Rock the other day.
That's a good one.
What's wrong with
Nick Cage?
Nothing's wrong with Nick Cage, but I do have a problem with Michael Bay, and I have a problem with his, and this is just me,
but The Rock
socially,
is great.
There's this.
What is great about The Rock?
What's not great
except
about
Michael
The
Bane
Rock?
Is in it. Do you know who Michael Bane is?
I don't know. I know Michael Bay is, and like everything no, that Michael he has Bane. His name in has this
has his
like,
name in?
Yeah, like The Rock, like the movie The Rock.
What's wrong with The Rock? What's wrong with it? Why would you watch it?
I'll tell you.
Why
what's
would
wrong
you say
it?
I just watched it the other day? If there's not,
oh, I was curious.
You've never seen it before?
No, I've seen it. I was just curious if it held up.
It does.
It does not hold up.
It's poor.
So it does.
It's poor.
And
there's like ethnic stereotypes in it that, for me personally, I'm like, this bugs the shit out of me. So that's what I
rampant homophobia.
Among other things, like I don't think of that exactly, but maybe that's probably
rampant.
It's probably very. Yeah.
I mean, not on the level of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, but it's there.
But no, I'm thinking like of Michael Bay films and of The Rock of the black woman being trapped in the
cell.
Yeah, the cell. And
the
like,
cage.
Oh, don't you ever? Blah, 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 blah. And then also the Asian driver. Oh, me no, so vivant crash. You know.
What movie are you talking about?
It's The fucking Rock, okay? Trust me. Like, okay. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, fair enough.
I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
No, you're not.
You're right. I'm right most of the time, but sometimes I'm wrong.
Sometimes.
But The Rock has some ethnic stereotypes in it, for sure. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. So, anyway.
Yeah, there you go. We'll end on that. We'll end on The Rock being a horrible movie.
Hey, we got no juice with The Rock. There's no point for us to pump it up. Yeah. I hate that movie. Fuck The Rock. Hate that movie so much.
I think it's
much.
An entertaining film.
Let's argue about it then.
I don't want to argue about anything. Peace and love.
Anyway.
You can hate on The Rock all you want.
Where can we find you, Chris, if we're like
I want to stalk
Salazar,
you on social
yeah.
networking.
I believe I'm Christopher Salazar number 3 on IMDb.
Boo. We're gonna get rid
but
of those
really,
other two.
But really, if you want to find me, go play Fallout 4 and try to get into... what is the name of the civilization? There's this walled-in town, and you have to take a personality test to get admission.
What?
And I'm the one giving you the personality test.
Do you do a voice, or is it just this voice that everyone's
no,
been hearing
because
for in
Fallout
a while?
4 is supposed to be
It's all
set,
like in this weird era, right?
It's set in post-apocalyptic Boston
were you one
suburbs.
Of those, were you
so
one of
it's
the
a
zombie people?
I'm not. I am this guy. I'm this one Boston guy outside of the town. But it's a slight Boston.
Negan?
No.
Okay.
I did dress it as for Halloween. And then I'm a soldier, but who's dead, and it's just his voice recorder. And so he's been kind of viciously wounded, so he's a little more breathy. I'm this uppity kid, and then I'm a robot.
Nice.
Yeah. And the last one, I collected all three of my characters, but I couldn't find the fourth one. And there was no way to know where he was. And in the game, you can fast travel, it's the term the kids use, to get to a new location.
Yeah.
And I fast traveled, and I'm looking around at the landscape, and somebody walks up behind me and starts a conversation, and it was me starting a conversation. Nice. I was like, you son of a, how did you find me? And he had no clue. Now, it should be noted that my major character in the game does turn on you, not no spoiler here, and I've had to kill him several times.
That's fantastic.
And, but the sad thing is he only comes after you with various garden tools. I'm like, come on, dude, I have a machine gun. You're not going to win this. I don't want to
rake you.
I'm going to hoe you up.
I've kneecapped him a few times, and he heals up. He's like a young Wolverine. He just comes right after you.
That's fantastic. And that, oh man. And so yeah, you actually did voices and stuff. Different. Are you? We got to stop talking. You have to go. I didn't know you were a voiceover person though.
You know what that means?
Breaking into it more and more.
Chris Alvazar is going to come back. Talk about more shit.
Okay.
True that.
I'm down.
True
good,
that.
Good, good, good.
Cool. So
we
yeah.
barely even scratched the surface,
you know,
of Chris Salazar.
That's how it goes. The beginning was my favorite part still.
Yes. Yeah, that needn't make it any further than this.
No, it's going.
I don't know
it's
what going. I committed to
all
here.
All 12 listeners are going to listen to
hey,
that.
Hey, we have like 70. Okay.
70.
Okay, so
anybody that can affect my career?
Probably.
Somebody.
I mean, they're going to call you in for a, quote, audition now.
Your odds are better. Yeah, your odds are better. So,
except those theaters that have already hired me and they're thinking, why did he talk about us on the air?
Man, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's all right.
If we ruin your career, then we owe you one. Sorry,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, we got you next time. We got you next time.
Anyway, that was a fun one. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Thanks for listening to a Modern Profession podcast. For more podcasts you might like and information on live shows or how you can get involved, visit amodernprofession.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Modern Profession. Or on Twitter at A Modern Pro. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.